Do you know what is the favorite Jewish wine? The wine about the weather. Jews are known for whining and complaining. And today we are going to find out that actually some of this complaining is very well justified. And today we are going to find out that in the Torah, when Jews have complained about the manna that they were getting from heaven, the heavenly manna, God's present that fed them for 40 years and kept them alive in the desert where there was no chance of surviving without this manna, Jews complained about it. So when Jews complained about this manna, actually, there was a very good reason for them complaining. And their complaints were 100% justified. And we are going to find out why the story that is usually looked upon with a frown, like, these Jews, they always complain and they're never happy with anything. God is giving them such a big present and they are not satisfied. We're going to find out that their complaint actually was correct. They had what to complain about. And in order to answer this very specific, very narrow question about the incident with Jews complaining about the manna, we will have to answer much more general question about why does a kind God bring so much pain and suffering to this world. And in order to understand that, we'll have to dive into the depths of Kabbalah. So get your deep sea diving gear, get your oxygen tanks, and we are jumping into the water. In Kabbalah, the system is primarily based on what is called Or and Keli, which is literally translated as a light and a vessel. Because the way God's energy is getting received by this world is by God being the source of light, and there is a light which is coming out of him, and we being the recipient, being the vessel that receives it. The thing is, though, that in order for us to be able to receive this light, it needs to go through many stages of filters, so to say. And every one of these stages is a recipient, is a keli for the higher light. And then when it passes it on to the lower levels, it is the source of light, it is the or for them. So in other words, the devolution of light from God to us goes through many stages of or and keli, light and a vessel. In the scientific world, they mainly talk about evolution. In the Kabbalah world, they mainly talk about devolution. I could bring you an example. It doesn't necessarily have to be with light, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with vessels. The content is called or in Kabbalah, which is a metaphor for light. And the form is called the keli because that is what contains it. This is the vessel, the container. For example, if you look at a book, then you could say that the cover of the book is the vessel and the pages which are inside the book are the light. This is the content of the book. That's why they say don't judge a book by its cover. But if you look at the pages of the book, then you'll say, no. The paper is the vessel, but the letters which are printed on the paper are the light. That's the next level. But then you could say, one second, this is also not true. There's a deeper way of looking at it. The ideas which are expressed in the book are the light, and the letters are the vessel. But then you could say, one second, this book is a very thick book. It has many stories and many ideas. What is the main point of the book? You'll say, whatever the main point of the book is the light, because this is the message of it, and everything around it, the stories and the descriptions, are the vessel. So these are many levels of light and vessel, which are described in Kabbalah. And it could be applied to literally everything in your life. With our electric appliances, we could say that the electricity, the power that comes to it, is the light, and the appliance is the vessel. We could say that a artist, a painter, has the emotion and the message that he's putting into the painting that he is making is the light, and the paint that he is using is the vessel, and so on and so forth. We could have it applied anywhere, virtually. So the thing is, though, that if there is a relationship between the light and the vessel in each instance, this relationship can be created only if the light is befitting to this particular vessel and the vessel is befitting to this particular light. If you have a cover for the book which is too thin and the book has too many pages, the cover just won't go on. The cover won't fit on the book. If you have the idea which is too complex to be expressed in this amount of words, it just won't be expressed properly. Or if I am a student who is listening to the class, then I'm the vessel, and my teacher is conveying the information, which is the light, the ore. Now, I have to be ready to receive this light. If whatever he's giving to me too much, it'll just go right over my head. I will walk out of this class with zero information. If I'm listening to a lecture where a professor has too complex of a class, then it'll just go straight over my head. I'll walk out with zero information. On the other hand, if the information that he is giving to me is given on a too low of a level, or he's delivering it too slow, I'll also be bored. I'll get bored and I will just stop listening to him. In my experience, I had both. It's very hard for a teacher to create a class which is going to be fitting his students perfectly. And that's the whole art, that's the whole skill of a good teacher. And it's very hard, very often, for students to adjust themselves to be able to receive the information that they need. And the same thing we see with our physical world. In order to see things around, I need to have light. I cannot see anything in darkness. But at the same time, if there's too much light is blinding. You might know how the Soviet army was able to conquer Berlin during World War II. At the very end of World War II, the Russian troops were very, very wary, and there were very few, at least the ones that made it to Berlin. And Berlin was heavily fortified, and they had serious doubts whether they would be able to take Berlin. And one of their tricks that allowed them to take Berlin was that they started the attack at night, and they had huge projectors, torches, blinding the eyes of the Nazis. They saw the Nazis, but Nazis weren't able to see them because their eyes were blinded. So too much light is blinding. So when you receive anything from God, when we receive godly energy, godly light, it has to be befitting us. If I receive something from God, some form of spiritual life that he is giving to me, he has to tailor it for me, and I have to be on the level of receiving it. Sometimes God is giving us a lot, but I'm just not able to receive it. So I'm sitting and wondering, why isn't God giving me anything? It's not true. God is giving it to me. Just I am not ready to receive it. And that's why I'm sitting here empty-handed. So now we can go back to the complaint that the Jews had in the desert. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Moses, and they said that our souls are disgusted with this rotten bread. And they were referring to manna. You would read it and you would say, excuse me, God is providing a miraculous form of food for you. God is giving you bread from heaven, literally. And you are saying our souls are disgusted with this rotten bread? You call it rotten bread? It was the freshest bread you could think of. The word rotten, which is written in Hebrew, is klokel. Klokel is etymologically connected to the word kilkul, which in Hebrew means spoiled, ruined, rotten. But then this word also has another etymological source, another root, Kal in Hebrew means light or refined, or I guess you could also say sophisticated, elevated. So the Jews were complaining, saying that this bread is too refined for us. We are not able to satiate ourselves with it because it is too aloof, too high. We are not ready for it. This was a present from God, and God was giving it to them. But the question is, were they on the level of receiving it? So the answer is that some Jews were, and they were not the ones who were complaining. They were satisfied with it. But then there were Jews who were complaining because they were saying, it's too great of a present for us. We are not proper vessels for receiving it. It is too high for us, too spiritual, too aloof, too refined, too sophisticated. This light is blinding us. This electric power is too strong for us. It's blowing the fuses. This information is too complicated. We are not able to absorb it. This was their complaint. So in reality, their complaint was valid. They were describing the situation very accurately. So we are looking at the Jews and thinking they were such a bad people. They were complaining about manna being rotten. They themselves are rotten. These rotten Jews are complaining about everything. Well, guess what? They were saying, we are happy God gave it to us. Thank you, God. But we cannot receive it. We are not on the level to receive it. So now maybe we could look at these people with a little bit different eye, a little bit more favorably. But from this, we can also see a lesson for ourselves. We know that in this world, there is a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And we ask ourselves, one second, the Torah is telling us that God is kind and God is good. God is the source of kindness, the epitome of kindness. How can this kind God do such a bad things? How can he allow so much pain, so much suffering? So what is the answer? The Torah is telling us, Ein Ra Yored Milimala, which means God cannot possibly be a source of anything bad. What do you mean God cannot be possibly a source of anything bad? Look at the world. This world has a lot of bad things, and we believe that everything in this world is from God. So which one is it? So the answer is that God is sending us only good. But sometimes we are not being proper vessels for receiving this good. And that's why this light is blinding us, and that's why we end up being in the dark. Sometimes God is giving us too much electric power and it blows our fuses. Sometimes God is giving us too much information and goes straight over our heads. As a matter of fact, the Torah is telling us that the good that was created during the 6 days of creation, it is described as tov, which means good. And the bad that was created during the 6 days of creation is called tov me'od, very good. It's very good, but we just cannot see it. And that's why we see it as bad. The bad things that we see in this world are blessings which are too high for us to receive. Now, does it mean that whenever God is sending us bad things, we should just sit back and say, oh God, thank you, send me more of these bad things because I like this very bright light? No, we should come to God and we should ask God for the good that we can perceive as good. Just like these Jews in the desert, they wanted to have the bread that they can eat. They wanted to have the manna that they can appreciate. We should ask God for the good things that we can benefit from. We should not just be complacent with everything that is going on if we don't see the good in it. But once God is giving to us something which looks to us as bad, while trying to eliminate the negative impact of it, while trying to alleviate the pain, we could also begin thinking that it must be a higher light which is too aloof, too spiritual for me at this point. And Chassidus is calling negative things that we see in our lives blessings in disguise. That's why when we wish each other Happy New Year in the Jewish tradition, we say Shana Tova Umituka, good and sweet year. Everything that comes from God is good. but not everything is sweet. Some things are good, but they're not sweet. Medicine, if your doctor prescribed it to you, must be good, but it's not sweet. I don't like it. I don't like taking pills. So not everything which is good is sweet. Not everything which is sweet is good also, by the way. There's a long list of things which you can think of which are very sweet, but every doctor is going to tell you they're not good. So in other words, not everything which is good is sweet. Not everything which is sweet is good. But we are asking God to give us all the things which are both good and sweet, because whatever God gives us is good, but not everything is sweet. We need to have both good and sweet things at the same time. So God does not say that evil doesn't exist. It exists. Just it exists because it is the light which is too high to come down here directly. God is not saying there's no evil. There is evil. But this evil, there are things which are manifesting themselves in this world as evil because this was the good that was too aloof, too high, too sophisticated to be absorbed in this world as good. Whenever bad things are happening, nobody is saying that they are not really bad. Whenever there is pain, whenever there is suffering, it is painful. And suffering is real. Nobody's denying it. Nobody's denying the reality. Nobody's telling you to be happy and dance whenever something tragic is happening, God forbid. As a matter of fact, the Torah is commanding us to mourn, let's say, whenever bad things are happening. It's a mitzvah. If somebody who has experienced a loss in the family and is not mourning, he is violating a mitzvah of the Torah. So grief, sorrow, pain are real. And in this world, this is how they're being manifested. And in this world, this is how we experience them. And it's not a misunderstanding of the events. Seeing it as bad on our level is the correct way of looking at them. But having said that, when we are wondering where do they come from and what is their source, this was just explained.